Right. Alright, shall we start? Acts 33.
I love this dumb.
Okay. Amayo yascha bhutanam jayate yena suvrata tad eva hi amayam dravyam na punati chikitsitam. O good soul, does not a thing applied therapeutically cure a disease which was caused by that very same thing? Okay. So he's saying you can use the same thing to... What causes someone disease, you can use the same thing to cure them. So then Prabhupada gives the example of milk preparations that cause bowel disturbances or disorders. But the very same milk, if you take, it causes that problem. But if you make it into a yogurt or curdle it, then it becomes a cure for bowel disturbances. So the threefold miseries cannot be mitigated by material activities. So rather the activities must be purified or spiritualized. Then they become curative. Otherwise they are going to put the jiva in a diseased condition and suffer the threefold miseries. So then Prabhupada says, the material conception of a thing is at once changed as soon as it is put into the service of the Lord. So whatever we do, it has to be connected to Krishna. Otherwise, it's going to cause some kind of reaction which we will suffer. So therefore, we have to do that. And Prabhupada says that is the secret of spiritual success. So many times we question, I have this problem, that problem, this, you know, headache, that headache. But all this, if it's connected with Krishna, then you don't have any problems or any headaches. And the point is, we should not try to lord it over the material nature. The idea is not to try to think that we can enjoy it. Rather, we have to use it in the service of Krishna. So Prabhupada says the best way to make use of a bad bargain is to use everything in relation with the Supreme Person. Like the human birth, the body itself is a bad bargain. But then if you use it in the service of Krishna, like Ambarish Maharaj, then we're going to get good results. Okay, that is a given, and then that's something we have to focus on. Why? Because everything is actually coming from the Supreme Lord. And therefore, he can convert spirit into matter and matter into spirit. This is the second time we are reading this. Yeah? Srila Prabhupada says he can do that. So we shouldn't think he cannot do that. He can. We may not be able to understand how, but he can. One way is to see things in a spiritual way and it transforms to spirit, right? If we see everything as some negative thing, some reaction comes and we see it as negative, then it will be negative. But if we see it as a mercy of the Lord, then we transcend that things. So that means we overcome that in a spiritual way. But in another absolute sense, Krishna can turn matter into spirit and spirit to matter. So that's another point also. So Prabhupada says the material thing, so-called, is at once turned into a spiritual force by the great will of the Lord. How do we change it? We change it by using matter in the service of Krishna. That's all. As soon as you use anything in the service of Krishna, it is considered spirit. It may appear material for that duration, but actually it's spirit. Just like acharyas, they serve 24/7 to Krishna, so their body is considered spiritualized, even though it may seem material in our material vision, but it's actually spiritual. That is the nature of the potency of the spiritual energy. So Prabhupada says the way to treat our material disease and elevate ourselves to the spiritual plane, where we don't experience any of this misery, lamentation, fear, is to actually work in relation to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Okay, then we transcend all these kinds of lamentation, fear and so on. So therefore, that's the only way you can actually feel the Supreme Lord in our lives. So you factually experience the Supreme Brahman. Otherwise, it's not possible. So then Prabhupada says the Vedic mantra that everything is Brahman is thus realized by us. Text 34.
Evam nirnam kriya yoga sarve sam srishti hetavah tayavatma vinashaya kalpante kalpita pare.
Thus, when all a man's activities are dedicated to the service of the Lord, those very activities which caused his perpetual bondage become the destroyer of the tree of work. Okay. So, normally, whatever actions we do, karmakanda, is going to bind us within this world, and so repeated birth takes place. But if you use it in the service of Krishna, the same thing actually destroys karma. The same activities when it's in relation, that means no more karma, then we are no more stuck in this repeated birth of cycles, samsara cycles. So anything we do, whatever duties we do, everything, we offer it to Krishna. Then we get out of this karma creating cycle. All right, let's continue. Text 35.
Yadatra kriyate karma bhagava paritoshanam jnanam yattat adinam hi bhakti yoga samanvitam.
Whatever work is done here in this life for the satisfaction of the mission of the Lord is called bhakti yoga, or transcendental loving service to the Lord, and what is called knowledge becomes a concomitant factor. Yeah. So everything we are doing, Narad Muni is saying, whatever you do, if you do it for the purpose of pleasing the Lord, for His mission or whatever it is, devotional service. Okay? It's very clearly stated here. So, you know, nothing else. Whatever you do, if it is done for the pleasure of the Lord, it is transcendental loving service of the Lord. Of course, different people may translate it slightly differently, but Srila Prabhupada really understands what is bhakti yoga samanvitam. It is dovetailed to bhakti yoga. Sometimes people say this activity is not bhakti, that is bhakti, like that. But if you use it to praise Krishna, it is bhakti. Okay, so like you go out on Harinam, you're doing it to please Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it's bhakti. Yeah. If you go out in book distribution, you're doing it to please Krishna so the others get the knowledge, it's bhakti. Sometimes people think it's not bhakti so much.
Yesterday we were doing Harinam and one person came and he looked at the book and immediately took it. So if you were not there, that book would not have been distributed.
Yeah, so that individual was sent there also by the Supreme Lord to get that particular book. And if he had not been there, then he missed the opportunity. Bhakti yoga, Srila Prabhupada writes, is considered by some to be another form of karma. But factually, bhakti yoga is above both karma and jnana. Bhakti yoga is independent of jnana or karma. On the other hand, jnana and karma are dependent on bhakti yoga. Okay. This Kriya Yoga, Karma Yoga, as recommended by Sri Narada to Vyasa, is specifically recommended because the principle is to satisfy the Lord. Even to do karma, you must have a little bit bhakti there, so that you get the results. You can't just do it, no? Because Krishna must be involved in it. Even jnana also, you must have some bhakti there to do devotedly to that process to get even results in jnana. So, but the other thing is, by performing jnana, you're not going to get bhakti. So that is very important to know that.
Probably the philosophers, they don't have bhakti.
Well, they worship super soul and things like that, right? They must at least have that focus. So that is a little bit bhakti. Yeah.
What about atheists? Like, they don't even...
No, atheists is not. Asuram bhava mashritaha. Right?
Then they still have jnana, right?
Like, theirs is just... this knowledge is not jnani, it's like trying to be transcendentalist. We're talking about transcendentalist, yeah. Yeah.
This verse seems to be like an extended version to another shloka, which is Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga. Looks like there is relation between these two verses.
Everything has relation, yeah, you're right. Yeah.
This close.
Well, yeah. But there has. Vairagya also included, whereas here Vairagya is not mentioned, so that's the only difference. Yeah. Okay, then continuing. The Lord does not want His sons, the living beings, to suffer the threefold miseries of life. The Lord wants us to go back. Huh? So that's the main thing, and that's the main reason why He makes avatars, He sends so much instruction, He wants everyone to look into this carefully. So when we do any kind of activities, and that is, we have it in our mind that this is to please Lord first. Then whatever, if the Lord is pleased, my life is going to be happy. If we are convinced like that, it's much easier to do those kind of work. Okay? So when we do that, we become purified gradually. No more reactions. Huh? This purification means attainment of spiritual knowledge. Spiritual knowledge means you do for Krishna. And it gives you from within the heart, the Lord guides us also. What is to do, what we shouldn't do. Sometimes we have fear of doing that. But with the knowledge from the heart, it illuminates us. Intelligence illuminated. Then we will be able to do it. More determination, with great determination. Therefore, knowledge is dependent on karma work done on behalf of the Lord. Other knowledge being devoid of bhakti yoga satisfying Lord cannot lead one back to the kingdom of Lord, which means that it cannot even offer salvation. As in the verse, nice karmyam. Api achyuta bhava varjitam, which is in the 12th verse, which means knowledge of self-realization, even though free from material affinity, does not look well if devoid of the conception of the Lord. So that's very important point Srila Prabhupada is trying to make here. The conclusion is that a devotee engaged in the unalloyed service of the Lord, specifically in hearing and chanting of His transcendental glories, becomes simultaneously spiritually enlightened by the divine grace as confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. So yeah, so we need to spend a lot of time hearing and chanting. Hearing means acting on it also, not just simply sitting somewhere and hearing only. Otherwise you'll find a whole temple full of people not doing any work. Right? You ask them, they say, I'm hearing now. That doesn't work. That's not the point. Hearing means you're acting also. Chanting means you are doing kirtan, you are distributing the literatures like that, glorifying the Lord. Text 36. Kurvana yatra karmani bhagavat chikshaya shakrit grinanti guna namani krishnasya nusmaranti cha. While performing duties according to the order of Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one constantly remembers Him, His names and His qualities. So this is someone who's expert. When he is doing the duty according to the instructions of the Guru, he is constantly remembering.
Maam anusmara
yudhyacha. So the point is, we also have to try to remember continuously. Yeah, so whatever you do, the Lord says, right? Yat karusi, yat asnasi, yat juhosi, dadasi, yat. Yat tapasyasya kontaya, tat kurusva, mat arpanam. So, whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you perform, the sacrifice, whatever you give, whatever austerities, just offer it, O son of Kunti, unto me, like that. So, that's the same thing here. So, whatever performing, he is constantly remembering that.
When I chastise my kid, I should also offer that.
Yeah, so you have to know why you're chastising your kid. The thing is, chastising is one thing, but why you're chastising? What is the goal of that chastisement? How is that going to help my child understand the problem and then in the end relate it to Krishna? Right? So when you chastise, you tell them, because you did this, now you forget Krishna, that's why you did this. I'm chastising you. Like that. So that's an expert parenting, you know.
Very difficult though.
It is difficult because we are in the mode of passion at that time. So therefore you have to first become expert in controlling your senses. Then they will realize this is the right thing. Otherwise, where is affection, right? Correct, no? The Lord is created this material energy to guide us and punish us in some way, but that's His affection also. In the same way, if you want to guide your children, you have to also show affection also. So just like when Prabhupada's father chastised him, right? He always would explain why before he would punish him. Yeah. So Prabhupada also wanted us to follow that. That way, if the child is intelligent, he or she will understand, yes, this is for my own good. Before you beat, it's for your own good. It's for your own good. It doesn't work. There must be a reason. No, there must be a reason why you are going to take a particular action. Anything in life, we have a reason for doing. It cannot be blindly doing. That means if you do it blindly, then instinctively, that means it's like an animal. So therefore, we are not on that platform. We are not animals. So we should explain our actions. Yeah, so this is not like just karma, but it's karma yoga offered to the Lord. Yeah? The activities we do, everything is done for the pleasure of the work. One should work only for the Lord in all spheres of life. In every sphere of life, the Lord should be situated as the proprietor. According to the Vedic rites, even in the worship of some demigods like Indra, Brahma, Saraswati and Ganesha, the system is that in all circumstances, the representation of Vishnu must be there as Yagneshwara, or the controlling power of such sacrifices. So that means even in Vedic rites it is clear that Krishna is the main person. After you've done the arpanam to Krishna, then you give to the main deity you're worshipping. Doesn't work any other way. Huh? It is part of the Vedic scripture. So we have to understand this point also. Most people don't know, so they think they will just argue. But if they read the scriptures properly, they will know that is not the case. Huh?
We have this experience.
You will always have this.
Ganesh Puja that yeah. We have in Bombay and all that always ends with the Mahamantra.
Hmm.
And also we have offer everything to Narayan. After Ganesh Puja, so at the start and the end.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of concoction, but...
So at the start and the end, it is Vishnu.
Vishnu thing.
Mahamantra.
Yeah, yeah. But at least the people have to know.
We were speaking Mahamantra.
I know, but I'm saying they don't understand. Like somebody was saying that they went to some place and they were worshipping Shiva and they were chanting Yani Kani Chapapani, all those kind of...
The Arti, they went to Shiva and say Yani Kani Chapapani. They went to Durga and started reciting, mantras that we recite for Krishna.
Right, right.
It's a big mix masala.
Okay, Prabhu was telling me, yeah. I was thinking, But yeah, exactly. That's exactly. Many years, 20, 30 years down, they'll say that is from the scripture.
Yeah.
So therefore, our ability to distribute books and knowledge is important. It should be in a way that people know, okay, this is authentic. So therefore, our parampara system of following must be also be good. And so when we follow nicely, then people cannot find faults in us. But if all of us don't follow nicely, then some of us will say something, no, you don't have to follow. Another way, halfway you follow. Then we have no strength. Because we are compromising the teachings. So we cannot do that. We should all follow the same way. So then these people will become afraid of us for the wrong reasons, naturally. But that's how it's going to be. People will get afraid of us, then later on they'll embrace us. Because we are giving them affection, love and everything. So Vishnu is always in the center of any worship. Okay, so that's very important. So then Prabhupada continues to highlight further things. If people read the Bhagavatam, they will know what prescribed duties is. But because a lot of times people don't read, they keep asking the same question. So Prabhupada says, apart from such Vedic duties, even in our ordinary dealings, for example in our household affairs, or in our business or profession, we must consider that the result of all activities must be given over to the Supreme Enjoyer Lord Krishna. So that the function is there. It's already there. It's how you can organize yourself to say, I'm doing it for Krishna. Right? Just like, sometimes people say, I'll give you one and I'll take one like that. I'll give you one. And then they say, I'll give one to Krishna, I'll take two. Right? I'll give one to Krishna, I'll take four. Like that, So, the thing is, we cannot think like that. We always have to see, Krishna is helping me. And why? What is he helping you? Us for? He's helping us to?
Everything.
Come closer to him and also at the same time satisfy our material desires also. But not accumulating any reactions to it. So he's actually doing everything. He's giving all the methodology and he's also reducing karma. And all we have to do is just follow that principle. And that's only we have to follow. No? If you look at it, it's just a principle. And that we can't do that. So whatever it is, ultimately we know Bhaktaram Yagyatavasam. He is the only enjoyer. So he has to enjoy it. Otherwise, if we try to enjoy, then we crave karma. If he enjoys it and we allow him to enjoy it favorably, then we make tangible advancements. Okay? So he is the proprietor of everything in this creation. And we have to know that point. And when we know that, then it's easy to do service and give it to Krishna. Okay? And again, Srila Prabhupada highlights that there's no difference between the Lord and his name, fame, form, qualities, etc., etc. Okay? And then, this is the major thing. The major thing is, Prabhupada says, the major portion of our monetary income, not less than 50%, must be spent to carry out the order of Lord Krishna. If you can do this, you won't get any reaction.
He's a major stakeholder.
Yeah. Of course, this you do after you pay all your... The government is taking so much from you, so... After that, whatever you have, 50% must go to Krishna or preaching. Not only should we give the profit of our earning to this cause, but we must also arrange to preach this cult of devotion to others, because that is also one of the orders of the Lord.
So, Prabhu, in your experience, how many people do that, 50%?
Very few people. There are, but very few. Very few. The best is, you give up everything and serve Krishna, whatever you get, you can give 50% and you're not attached to it. But there are people who are wealthy and they give a lot also. Yeah. There are many, many people who do as much as they can, but in general, very few do 50%.
Well, in one sense, it's actually independent of wealth. That's why percentage, right? Because whatever you earn, it's 50%.
Like that correlation is 10 rupees, 5 rupees.
Call away to Sridhar, whatever he is, it doesn't say, 25% and give half of it.
No, the more you have, the harder it is for you to give
50%.
Yeah,
it becomes harder. Yeah.
It gets an inverse proportion.
Yeah.
No? Yeah. The more you have, the harder to give. So the less you have, the easier to give. So you find poor people will give you. Right? When you go on Harinam, Sankirtan, you see poor people, they'll, in India especially, they'll give you whatever they have, rotis, everything, and they won't even eat anything. But they are happy to give. So the rich people will say, who are you? Why don't you go and get a job?
I've seen that from last year when I was in India, temple construction, Hyderabad temple extension. Mm-hmm. One lady, she came and then she just gave like 50,000 rupees donation.
Mm.
And she said, "For this is the third or fourth donation she is giving, and so for 3 lakhs, she committed for 3
pledged.
Lakhs. She said, yeah. But when I look at her, and then she was like a very old sari, no gold ornaments on her. I was ashamed when I was giving my donation, I thought, she doesn't even look like she has that much, but she's giving so much. Really, then I understood, like, the lesser we have, the more we try to give. The more we try to get in, it blocks us from giving. It attached to them.
So then, that it's actually what time you're giving to Krishna. You know, some people work a lot, so 50% you give to Krishna. If you work less, still that 50% of the funds you may give to Krishna. One of the things you need to understand, you may think you're earning legally and so on, but the company may be investing in illegal things, you know. So you are reaping some of this karma, and so it is affecting you indirectly, and you don't know about these things. But therefore, the statement says give 50%, you know. But if you have, you know, $1 million house and $500,000 you have to pay mortgage, or more than, you know, 100,000 every month you pay mortgage, then you can't give anything.
Then at the end of the life, give the house, half of the house.
Yeah.
Or full house.
Yeah. The bank will say, oh, you still haven't paid off, so we'll take it from your hand.
Half the house.
Yeah, the bank will say, I'll help you and we'll take the house, you don't have to pay anymore. You know?
Give it before it's taken.
Yeah. Yeah, so give it before it's taken. That's the other thing I've seen. Many devotees, they refuse to give. And they think they are, you know, they give a little bit and they keep. But then somehow or other, they have some problem where they have to spend thousands and thousands of dollars, just like that, for some, maybe some lawsuit or accident or medical cost. Then you see the money just goes, right? But if they had given to Krishna, then maybe they don't have to go through those karmic reaction. So I notice, then I say, yeah, better to give Krishna, not suffer those things, you know.
So Srinivas Prabhu, you know, once he got a ticket of $250, he parked next to that temple. Generally, they don't have a ticket, but he got a ticket. He said, I was thinking of giving donations since long.
Normally, Sunday fees is $250.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's the thing. You see, we
I should have given to Krishna.
That's right. It's only after we think, oh, I should have. But again, the next time you ask them, they'll do the same thing. Huh?
When the loan mortgage rates were going down, I was talking with Namavrat Prabhu. He said that, and at that time, that devotees were committing monthly.
Pledge
for the temple's mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, whatever I committed to the temple, the next day when I went for refinance, that much amount reduced in my monthly payment for my house.
Great. See, that means Krishna has reciprocated with his desire, because his desire is pure. Yeah. So everyone should be giving something on a monthly basis also, right? All of you should. Otherwise, Krishna will take his interest plus interest, you'll take.
The program is on. It should be spread more widely.
Right? Yeah, you all should. Everyone should. Because you see, in the Muslim community, in the Christian community, they give like 10%? 20%? 20%? 10%? Something I know. Churches just take. And they no question asked. No question asked. The rest of their life, automatic deduction from the account.
But because no question asked, all the Catholic bishops have become so corrupt. And you have all these sex suits, lawsuits.
Anyway, I'm talking about Krishna here. So the point is, are the people who are going to be doing the same thing? So that you all have to have a check and balance system also, so nobody gets to do corruption.
Yeah.
That is, it's a given, you know. My point is, you give, once you give, you have given to Krishna. Whoever does the nonsense, yeah, nothing to do with you, yes, they will get the karma. So you don't feel that's your money. It's not your money anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
First, it's not your money. Then you get some salary. It's still not your money. And then you give to Krishna. Still, it's not your money. But you think always it's my money. Right?
So I also noticed when you give,
yeah,
for some devotees,
yeah,
they get double back.
Yeah, that's the other thing. He'll give it. So some of you, it's true, some of you will become like Lakshmipatis, you know. So not all, but some Krishna will bless you all as Lakshmipatis. That means you somehow, whatever you spend, you'll get money coming to you, which means Krishna wants you to use it in the positive way for projects to propagate the cult of Krishna consciousness, as Prabhupada says. So that's something you all need to think about, and everyone should automatically, you should donate money to the temple. No questions asked. You know, just give some amount you feel comfortable with. You know, not $1, $2. It's true. That's
if
a joke.
In our temple, the donation box.
Yeah.
All the bucks are $1.
Right? Yeah, there, yeah, it's true.
Because for a lot of time, but not, I'm not talking about devotees, but in people in general, they think, oh, this temple is getting a lot of money. It is self-sustained.
No, no self-sustained.
It is not self-sustained. The money has to be coming from
somewhere. And I think that what you said, at least we felt that way. Well, if you do that automatic monthly, it's the best way.
Yes.
Otherwise, other than that, you will sometime
forget or do some. Yes. No, you all should, all of you, you all should have some kind of a form where you can automatically deduct.
We have that facility.
Then everyone should do, and you cannot stop it.
Yeah, you feel very bad while stopping it. So
if you stop, you then Krishna will think you don't want his protection. No?
I mean, some, it's for our purification, right?
Lack of faith, yeah?
Money is going for our purification.
Not exactly, not for any other thing. You know? The more you give, the more you please Krishna. The less you give, the less you please him. Yeah, so anyway, think about it. I cannot say what you can do. It's true, you all have to do yourself. The scientific discoveries of the material world can also be equally engaged in carrying out his order. And Krishna wants the message of Bhagavad Gita to be preached amongst his devotees also. See, even amongst devotees, they have to know. Why? Because they don't know how to apply the principles properly sometimes. So therefore, we have to also, like coming together and discuss, then we know what we should do. Just like the sages of Naimisharanya, they all got together so that they understood what, how to do, what is the goal at the time of death and things like that. Okay. It may not be so done amongst those who have no credit of austerities, charity, education. There are people who don't perform all these things, therefore they cannot do these things. So what to do? So we have to go and convert unwilling men to become devotees of Krishna. That means we attempt to do it. We don't force anybody. Lord Chaitanya has taught a very simple method in this connection. He has taught the lesson from preaching the transcendental message through singing, dancing and prasadam distribution. That's all. So go and get involved in this. As such, 50% of income may be spent for this purpose. Again, Srila Prabhupada points that out. And then, one more time, he'll give you. In this fallen age of quarrel and dissension, if only the leading and wealthy person in society agree to spend 50% of the income in the service of the Lord, as it is taught by Lord Chaitanya, there's absolute certainty of converting this hell of pandemonium to the transcendental abode of Lord. There you go. And then Prabhupada says, no one will disagree to partake in a function where good singing, dancing and refreshment are administered.
Nobody
so,
does that.
Huh? Yeah, so good singing is... Yeah. So when you do this, everyone who donates and so on, you'll feel transcendental bliss, guaranteed. Because the Lord is pleased with you. As soon as the Lord is pleased, you will feel pleasure also. Huh? Just like case of Durvasa Muni with his 60,000 disciples came to see the Pandavas, right? Then they wanted to eat. Then Draupadi was in great anxiety. Then Krishna appeared because she was thinking of him. Then he said, give me something. She said, I already washed the pot that the sun god gave or something like that. She said, no, let me look at it. Then he saw something sticking there, a leaf or something. Some people say it's tulsi leaf, some people say it's shak, who knows, but Krishna ate that and he felt pleased with Draupadi. So when he's pleased, the whole world was pleased. So all Dhruvaswamini, everyone suddenly felt full. They feel like they've eaten like 100 pizzas or something like that. So then they got afraid because Bhima was standing there with his gada protecting them, but they were thinking, if we don't go, he'll beat us. So they left. So that's a funny incident. But yeah, so you fulfill, if you all do that, you all will feel satisfied. Text 37. Om Namo Bhagavate Tubhyam Vasudevaya Dhimahi Pradyumnaya Niruddhaya Nama Sankarshanaya Cha. That's another verse, right? Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya Cha. Yeah. Nama Nama. So, yeah, Krishna Vasudevaya. So, this is similar to that. So, these are nice verses, y'all. You know, whenever you see the Lord, you can chant this. When you go to temple room, you know, you can just chant these verses nicely. Right? Because when you see Lord Ram, Vasudevaya, Pradyumna, Anuruddha, Sankarshan, sometimes they also take the Sankarshan, Pradyumna, all are expansions of Lord Ram, some avatars like that. Sometimes it is his paraphernalia who come as Ram, Lakshman, Bharata, and all of them, Satrughna, and so on. So you can chant these verses.
These are also the sons of Krishna when
he
was here.
Yes, can be sons in the pastime, but they are actually plenary expansions. Yeah.
Okay. What are you saying about Lord Ram?
Sometimes Lord Ram, Lakshman, Bharat, Satrughna are expansions of the Pradyumna, Aniruddha, Sankarshan.
Oh.
Vasudev is Krishna, Ram, and then the rest are Sankarshan is Lakshman, and so on.
Oh.
Mm. In some expansions. If you read, you will see Prabhupada explains in some of the purports. According to Pancharatra, Narayana is the primeval cause of all expansions of Godhead. These are Vasudeva, Sankarshan, Pradyumna and Aniruddha. Vasudeva and Sankarshana are on the middle left and right. Pradyumna is on the right of Sankarshan and Aniruddha is on the left of Vasudeva. And thus the four deities are situated. They are known as the four aides de camp of Lord Sri Krishna. So they are actually in Goloka Vrindavan, outside Goloka Vrindavan, these four deities are situated. They protect the Goloka in that sense.
But then further from Sankarshana, the second Sankarshana.
This is the four, first Chaturvyuha. And then the second expansion comes in. Yeah.
Second expansion is for the Narayana level.
Yeah, they are all Narayans, but that's an expansion. Yeah. This is a Vedic hymn or mantra beginning with Omkara Pranava, and thus the mantra is established by the transcendental chanting process, namely Om Namo Dhimahi, etc. The purport is that any transaction, either in the field of fruitive work or in empiric philosophy, which is not ultimately aimed at transcendental realization of the Supreme Lord, is considered to be useless. It's the same verse, right? As if your work doesn't aim in pleasing or understanding the Lord. It's the same thing. Dharma Prajita. No. Sonastapumsa Visvakshana Kadasya. Naradiji has therefore explained the nature of unalloyed devotional service by his personal experience in the development of intimacy between the Lord and the living entity by a gradual process of progressive devotional activity. So this is progressive, it's not instantaneous. In Kali Yuga, everything must be instant, right? Instant TV dinner, instant, everything instant. You go to Starbucks, instant coffee, right? Everything instant. He's laughing. But that's how it is. That's how it is. In Kali Yuga, we want everything. You get headache, we want instantly to get it cured. You got fever,
Instant headache.
Instant headache. That we can get also. But the point is that nothing you can get instantly without some sacrifice, some austerity, some effort. So, what to speak of getting something from the Supreme Lord Himself? how much sacrifice, how much. So it is progressive, it will take time. It's like, you know, we have to keep constantly working, right, to get some results. Otherwise, we won't be satisfied. So, same thing, we do it and then we'll get some benefit. Something we get. Svalpam api yasya dharmasya. So that will protect us. So if you can't do a lot, if you can't do it this life, at least something you do for Krishna will protect you. But doesn't mean you do one time a little bit and you say, I've done small, that's enough. It's going to protect me at the end of life.
Actually, last 6-7 years, I'm only doing svalpa.
Yeah.
It's not going to something
bigger. Yeah, it has to go to something bigger. So we think, oh, that svalpa is enough. You know, sometimes people think like, oh, I've done enough, that's enough. There's no such thing as enough. But the point is, you have to be progressively developing in your devotional activities. Why? Because if you continuously do it, you will attain prema. And in prema, one can taste different rasas. Or according to your rasas, you can serve the Lord even more intimately.
So, the Srila Prabhupada disciples, like, you know, some people became magnificent artists. Some people sang very nicely. So how long before we try to do such things?
I guess it's not a question of wanting to be like that, rather wanting to please the deities. In wanting to please the deities, our inner glories are exhibited by the Lord Himself. Yeah. Right? You may have artistic qualities, but you may not be able to draw like that. But under the guidance of someone like Prabhupada guided his disciples, they became, like you say, excellent artists. Amazing.
Yeah, today you see the picture,
it's amazing.
Can make
it. Yeah, exactly. So it is, they wanted to please the Guru. So the art came out so excellent. So same way, you know, there's always opportunity to improve ourselves, but it has to be done as a service. So we try our best to do a good work for the Lord. Then the results are amazing. And even you will think, how did I manage this? It is like that. I remember many years ago, one devotee was collecting for the temple. So he'll just take a few rolls of painting and he'll go out. And every time he'll go out, he'll make each roll, he'll sell like $1,000 like that. So in 1 week, he'll pull in like $30,000-$40,000. Just like that. So after a few years, he thought he's the one who's the really doing this thing, and you know, somehow we get contaminated. Then he was thinking the temple, you know, they're not treating him well or whatever. So then he married another Sankirtan lady. She also was very good. So they both thought they can collect better, more on their own and get live better. So as soon as they left their home, after 1 month, the guy came back. The temple said, oh, please stay and do. And he said, no, I'll be independent. We'll do separately and I'll give some donation. They say, okay. So he left. So when he went, he couldn't even sell $1,000 paint. Then he realized it's only the mercy of the deities that he was able to do that for the temple. As long as he wanted to do for the temple, he could do amazing activity. But as soon as he tried to do for himself, the Lord took away that potency. So your point is right, but we have to do it for the Lord, for the pleasure of the Lord. Okay, so let's all right, let's continue. Yeah.
The one time, remember Hilas Prabhu mentioning that the glitter of material energy that you have to stay away from, because it says this. You know, it's about, I want to gain this materially, so I want to utilize my talent, even in devotional.
Yeah, pratistha.
Like, because, so he says, the glitter of material energy, don't get swayed by that. Be under the guidance of deities or guru or temple. Then if you do something, that was striking.
Yeah, that's why, you know, in the modern culture, everything you do, they like to praise you, you know. But then they praise you for the wrong reasons. In Vedic culture, we praise the Lord for anything we do. Great. Right? You read some of the things, the literature, they'll do something magnificent. They say, glories to the Lord. How wonderful He has you know, showed me how to do this like that. But in modern society, it's like, oh, you're great, man. You're excellent. How did you do it? So, it's sad, but that's how it is. Text 38. Iti murti abhidanena mantra murti mamurtikam yajate yagna purusham sasam yagdarshana puman. Thus, he is the actual seer who worships in the form of transcendental sound representation the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu, who has no material form. Our present senses are all made of material elements and therefore they are imperfect in realizing the transcendental form of Lord Vishnu. He is therefore worshipped by sound representation via the transcendental method of chanting. So, we have to all chant nicely. Hare Krishna mantra. Anything which is beyond the scope of experience by our imperfect senses can be fully realized fully by the sound representation. So by chanting we can realize many things. A person transmitting sound from a far distant place can be factually experienced. Right? Somebody shouting, then you can actually experience that. If this is a materially possible, why not spiritually? This experience is not a vague impersonal experience. It is actually an experience of the transcendental personality of Godhead who possesses the pure form of eternity, bliss and knowledge. So, it's guaranteed. Prabhupada is guaranteeing us that you will get the darshan of the Supreme Lord. So now Prabhupada quotes from the dictionary, Amara Kosha dictionary. Yeah? He says, it gives you the definition of murti, meaning namely, twofold meanings, namely form and difficulty. Therefore, amurtikam is explained by Acharya Sri Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakura as meaning without difficulty. The transcendental form of eternal bliss and knowledge can be experienced by our original senses, which can be revived by chanting of the holy mantras or transcendental sound vibrations without difficulty. And you get this mantra through the spiritual master in the disciplic succession. And we follow the Pancharatika system because it is both recognized and authorized. And it has the most authorized codes for devotional service. Without the help of such codes, one cannot approach the Lord, certainly not by dry philosophical speculation. So by jnana you cannot. Not by jnana, but by devotional service. So the Pancharatika system is what we are doing, all of us. Narada Muni says you turn a bell metal to gold. That is the process. That means the Guru can, no matter where, which caste you are born, if you have the qualities, he can turn you into a Brahmana. It's not by birth. It's both practical and suitable for this age of quarrel. The Pancharatra is more important than the Vedanta for this modern age. That's it. No argument. So, this is Acharya saying, so we can also tell people, it's not through Vedas anymore, it's Pancharatrika. The system is already set by Narad Muni, so we follow his system. Anyone who talks, they are not understanding. Why? Because even though Vyasadev wrote the Vedanta, it is not satisfying completely. But he will become satisfied by writing the Pancharatra and the revised version of Bhagavatam. Yeah.
So some people get attracted to Vedanta, but the moment you say Srimad Bhagavatam, they say it's not necessary, or they will say something which is, they don't want to be attracted to.
Yeah, the point is they cannot really understand the Vedanta. You need qualified...
So they pretend to understand.
Yeah, they pretend, they think they are very smart. Bottom line is they think they are very smart and on their own they are going to understand it. It's not possible. Has to be understood in Guru Parampara only. Right?
So Vyasadeva wrote it.
Exactly, and he himself, found that he is not satisfied, which means it is not the solution for this age. So we follow the Guru Parampara.
So Prabhu, in other sampradayas like Ramanuja Acharya, they put a lot of emphasis on the commentaries on Vedanta Sutra, like a Bhashya, right? So in our tradition, so we don't emphasis more on the Govinda Bhasha commentary rather than the Sutra.
Because the natural commentary is Srimad Bhagavatam, which Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said.
Right.
So therefore we follow that. And to keep those people quiet, we'll tell them to read the Sri Bhashya, I mean Govinda Bhashya. Mm.
So Ramana Acharya is Acharya, right?
Mm.
So he also follows the, I mean, his followers follow the commentary on Vedanta Sutra. So they know Bhagavatam is a natural commentary.
They know, but they are not convinced of it.
Oh.
Most of them are not convinced. That's why, in fact, the reason for writing the Govinda Bhashya is because the Sri Sampradaya people challenged it. That's why Govinda Bhashya was produced. And then they accepted it after that. Yeah.
In Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhava, it is mentioned that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur did not like Ramaji Acharya because Ramaji Acharya did not follow his guru's instruction, something like that.
I've never heard of that. You have to show me.
Yeah, in the Bhaktisiddhanta
Vaibhava. Yeah, you have to show me where and then let me look at it. But statement just like that is very difficult to confirm or
because
whatever.
Because Srila Prabhupada quotes Ramanujacharya throughout the book.
Yes.
Acharyas like
Ramanujacharya. So you can't say that because our process and so on, everything, the fact that we chant all these mantras all coming from Sri Vaishnava traditions, many of the things.
Prabhupada
that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati personally went to get all these mantras. So I don't know. You have to show me.
Probably, yeah. Boarding maybe, yeah.
Yeah, so you have to read under the guidance of a guru.
Yeah. Okay, so text 39. Imam swanigamam brahman avidya mad anustitam adan me jnanam aishwaryam swasmin bhavam cha keshavaha. O brahmana, thus by the Supreme Lord Krishna, I was endowed first with the transcendental knowledge of the Lord as inculcated in the confidential parts of the Vedas, then with the spiritual opulences, and then with his intimate loving service. So first he gave him instructions, then he gave him realization of the Lord, then he gave him the potency, and then finally prema. Communion with the Lord by transmission of the transcendental sound is non-different from the whole spirit Lord Sri Krishna. It is a completely perfect method for approaching the Lord. By such pure contact with the Lord, without offense of material conceptions, numbering 10 offenses, the devotee can rise above the material plane to understand the inner meaning of the Vedic literatures, including the Lord's existence in the transcendental realm. The Lord reveals His identity gradually to one who has unflinching faith, both in the spiritual master and in the Lord. So it's very important. The faith must be there. Cannot give up the faith. And the faith must not only be in the process, must be also on the Lord as well as the spiritual master. So once you take initiation, don't become better than your spiritual master. You cannot. Your spiritual master is a via media to the Lord. So you have to be fully faithful. After this, the devotee is endowed with mystic opulences, which are 8 in number. That's the siddhis. Okay? So if you really follow the process, you will get the siddhi also. But we are not interested in that. We are more into love of Godhead.
That Lord wants to see how much strong you are in spite of getting the siddhis, you still want to get closer to the Lord, but not. Is it a kind of test, like giving you the siddhis and checking?
No, I think it's more like it's a reward. And the other thing is, even if the devotees get it, they are not interested in it. They are more interested only in serving. So the Lord is showing every other yogis and so on, who are very proud of getting the siddhis, that look, I can give them, they are not interested in these things. It's a glorification of the process itself. Yeah. And above all, the devotee is accepted in the confidential entourage of the Lord and is entrusted with specific service of the Lord through the agency of the spiritual master. So this is prema, position and rasa. Pure devotee is more interested in serving the Lord than in showing an exhibition of the mystic powers dormant in him. I have read in a book, I'm not sure who's, which one, where Srila Prabhupada, when he was in the Damodar temple, the monkeys used to come and harass him a lot, take his stuff from the window and so on. So one time a monkey came, I believe it was Yamuna Mataji. So she ran up and saw the monkey, and then she ran up, she opened the door, Prabhupada, and Prabhupada was holding the monkey's hand. And then he was talking to the monkey, she writes. And then the monkey was listening, and then Prabhupada said, then when the door opened, Prabhupada looked at Yamuna Mataji and said, and then he let the monkey go, and the monkey never disturbed Prabhupada after that. So they have that siddhi, but they don't need to use those things.
There is a pastime of Jagannath Das Babaji also with this. Once a very rich man, he knew the glories of Jagannath Das Babaji, and then he came, and then he asked Babaji, can you show me some miracles, some siddhis?
Mm.
He says, I don't know anything.
Mm.
And then while that person was turned about and going, then Babaji suddenly he took a stick and started beating on the ground and approached that person. That person got frightened. Okay, what is now? Did I offend him? Why is he like back of me? He says, immediately Baba Jagannath Das Babaji, no, I'm not saying anything to you. But in Vrindavan, like in the Radhakund, near Radhakund, there is a goat which is actually eating the Tulsi one. It is coming inside. I'm just chasing it. This happened in Mayapur. And then it's in Vrindavan. That person immediately telegrammed Vrindavan. And he wanted to confirm if it's happening. And they told that yes, exactly at this time, there was a goat which was coming into this. So, it is.
Yeah, these are mystical potencies they have, but they are not interested in those things. They're only using it, if they use it, in the service of Krishna, that's all.
So, Prabhu, if you follow the process, we also get mystical.
You already have it. How much you can, you are already eating so much.
But you see, these are things that are naturally will be endowed in you, the opulences. But we are not interested in those things. Yes? But if you think and if you think of getting that, then you will be attracted to that, and then you lose interest in serving Krishna, and then you have lost again. So you have to be careful when we get enamored by a thing, thinking, wow, you know, I get the siddhis, I can fly, you know, everywhere. It's very enamoring.
This mistake multiple times in after this life.
Probably, you know. We are always doing it every day. We are thinking, oh, if I have this, if I have that. All these are desiring mystic potencies, actually. If I only have so much money, I can do this. If I only have...
Oh, even that is pretty much the same thing.
Yeah, if I have this power, I can go and do this and do that. It's all desiring mystic powers. So we should give up those things also. So it's useless. Because it's all based in the material realm, all these things. You don't need it in the spiritual realm. Okay, Narada explained all this from his personal experience. So he himself knew he was getting all the potencies. Because you can see, he can walk in air. That's also a siddhi kind, no? But he's a transcendental. He's beyond material potency. Obtained by perfecting the chanting process of sound representation of the Lord. There is no bar for chanting this transcendental sound by anyone, provided it is received through Narada's representative, coming down by the chain of disciplic succession or the parampara system. Okay. Text 40. Let's go and look at text 40. Tvamapi dabra sruta vishrutam vibho samapyate yena vidam bhuvististam rakyahi dukhair muhur adhitatmanam sanklesha nirvanam ushanti nanyata. Please, therefore, describe the Almighty Lord's activities which you have learned by a vast knowledge of the Vedas, for that will satisfy the hankerings of the great learned men and at the same time mitigate the miseries of the masses of common people who are always suffering from material pangs. Indeed, there's no other way to get out of such miseries. So he's saying it's no, you cannot get out of this Kali Yuga problem except through hearing and chanting and serving. Okay. So the Lord Vyasadeva, he's knower of many scriptures, Adabra Sruta, that means he knows many scriptures. Please therefore relate these stories. So he says Vishrutam, chant the glories of the Lord. So everyone who desires to know about the Lord, then they will be satisfied. And if they get taste for this Lord, then they will not get desire for, particularly here is knowledge, jnana. Those with intelligence, they do not consider that you can get out of this material suffering by any other means except Krishna consciousness or devotional service, right? In the purport, Srila Prabhupada writes, there are four classes of good men and there are four classes of bad men also. So this is in chapter 7, yeah, 7, 15, 14 and 15, 15, right, 15, 16, yeah. Four classes of good men acknowledge the authority of the Almighty God, and therefore such good men, when they are in difficulty, when they are in need of money, when they advance in knowledge, and when they are inquisitive to know more about God, intuitively take shelter of the Lord. As such, Naraji advises Vyasadeva to broadcast the transcendent knowledge of God in terms of the vast Vedic knowledge which he had already attained. Problem nowadays is there's so many unauthorized scriptures on different demigods and so on. It causes a lot of problem. That's why we have to preach very nicely and carefully so that people know that this is the right system. As far as the bad men are concerned, they are also four in number. Those are simply addicted to the mode of progressive fruitive work and thus are subjected to the accompanying miseries. Those are simply addicted to vicious work for sense satisfaction and so suffer the consequence. Those who are materially very much advanced in knowledge but who suffer because they do not have the sense to acknowledge the authority of the Almighty Lord, Maya Parita Gyan. And four, the class of men who are known as atheists and who therefore purposefully hate the very name of God, although they are always in difficulty. You can see this. Nowadays, a lot of people voice that there's no God openly, you know, because they see technology and they think technology is the real thing, you know. So, but why is Narada Muni saying so that Srila Prabhupada writes very nicely, the glories of the Lord, just do good to all eight classes of men, not just the good people, but also the fallen people. So, Srimad Bhagavatam is therefore not meant for any particular class of men or sect. It is for the sincere soul who actually wants his own welfare and peace of mind. So, it's interesting. This book is actually for the Paramahamsas, but at the same time, it's for the whole everybody, actually. It's very interesting. Because that is the Lord. He is for the pure devotee as well as for the fallen soul. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the first canto, fifth chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Narada's instructions on Srimad Bhagavatam for Vyasadeva. So we'll take like 10 minutes break before we start.